Welcome to Simple Wins, the show where we talk to the architects behind the most successful B2B firms. And we're currently in the middle of a massive project curating the 2026 B2B benchmark. And we're looking for the high-level strategies that actually work in today's market. And I knew I had to get Brian Sampson on the podcast. Brian is the founder of Plug Technologies, a nearshoring firm connecting top Latin America talent with U.S. companies, and has spent over a decade building and scaling global teams, including time as an expat in Argentina. He's grown three companies from 0 to 4 million ARR and previously served as a VP of talent for San Francisco-based tech companies through both an IPO and acquisition. Brian, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you here.
Adam, really, pleasure is all mine, and so awesome talking to a globalist like yourself.
Absolutely. And I'm so curious to hear about this because you have a story about a CTO friend in San Jose paying $200,000 for a developer to work from home, which sparked a massive realization for you. Can you walk us through that moment and why it changed how you view Latin America talent?
Yeah. So I had been working with Latin America going back to late 2015. So I moved to Buenos Aires and kind of built that up. But it was, we had an office and invested in that and all the trappings of a cool tech company kind of office, you know, with video games and a bar and a grill and, you know, everything there. And if you remember back to like 2019, remote work was still not really a thing, you know, and you look at the way the world has evolved, but it was really 2020. So COVID hits and all of a sudden companies that were forever office had to make it work and be remote and people could kind of work anywhere. So I had this friend, brilliant guy, you know, Stanford, master's in computer science, CTO of a med tech company. And they had raised their Series A and a decent amount, you know, so they could afford good salaries. So they were like any other kind of Series A startup. They were in San Francisco and everybody was just working like crazy, you know, tails off, working long hours in their little startup office in Soma, south of Market in San Francisco. And, you know, work until 9, 10 o'clock at night, grab some ramen noodles or something. And then, you're back in the office the next day. And all of a sudden COVID hit and he had all these really expensive software developers that were used to putting in all the long startup hours collaboratively together. And now he's got to make this work. And he had somebody that I think had lived like way down in San Jose. And I say way down because if you ever done that drive from San Jose to San Francisco, it's no joke. And you're also in this age of, if we remember all the way back to COVID, of masks and social distancing and, you know, you just got to work from home. So after about a month of this, all of a sudden my friend is kind of looking at his team roster of compensation. And no one's really working like startup hours anymore during COVID. It's not like you're on Slack. I mean, that would be crazy to, you know, be on video calls and Slack, you know, from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. like you might, you know, in your office together. So he's kind of getting like 7 to 8 hours worth of work. He's paying 200K plus for his compensation for this guy. And it wasn't a bad software developer. But all of a sudden, my friend who knew that I had been working in Latin America forever. He knew that Latin America was on the same time zone. He's like, am I really getting the best value if I'm not going to be in the office with this person? So that's when his wheels started spinning. He and I talked and I said, well, I know a lot of good developers in Latin America, all over Mexico and Colombia, Brazil, Argentina. I'm sure I could find you somebody for probably way less than even half the price of this guy. Who knows? Maybe you could get 2.5 for the same price, and then you get all those hours back too if everyone's working remote. So again, his wheels just started turning, and that opened up the door for some really great conversations, and we made some placements together, and they really pushed his med tech company forward in a really crazy time, chaotic time, and I think he felt very good about the value he got for his money.
That's amazing. And are most of your clients coming to you to save money, or is it to improve efficiency?
Yeah, a great question. Latin America is never going to beat Asia when it comes to cost savings. Okay. And whenever I get on a call with a new prospect, I try to make sure that's clear. And by the way, I don't have anything bad to say about Asia. In fact, I'm even an investor in a company like mine that just happens to be in Asia. And I did a degree in Singapore. Great things to say about Asia. But the price and the unit economics, they're just different. So when you look at Latin America, it's not going to be the best cost savings place, but you are going to save money. What you're actually getting, it's much more of a value play than a straight cost play. Because the value play, you're not sacrificing time zone. In fact, you're not sacrificing anything. It's like a full 8-hour workday that's totally aligned. And at the same time, you're getting really creative, clever problem solvers that are kind of scrappy, adaptable. You know, we sometimes when we read the headlines of what's going on in Latin America, we tend to think that it applies to everybody in that whole continent, right? You hear about the cartels, or what's all this crazy inflation in Argentina, or corruption in this country, or wait, did we just come in on helicopters and capture Maduro in Venezuela? Like, what's going on there? But that's just bad leaders, not the population. But the population has lived in all these environments. You know, they've lived in a lot of chaos. They've lived in tough places to be where they've had to be scrappy, adaptable, flexible, creative, think outside the box, deal with ambiguity. And I can't think of a single business owner that doesn't want those type of attributes on their team. So it's not a cost play, it's a cost arbitrage play. So you're getting way more value than what you're spending because you're getting all the benefits I just talked about, plus the same time zone, plus enough of a cost savings to make it interesting.
Time zone makes a big difference. I've worked with lots of people from Asia and Eastern Europe and everything like that. And yeah, that time zone makes a massive difference when you're able to talk to people and you don't have just a 1 hour slot where you can communicate. That is definitely a big one. And I guess, how have you seen the quality difference? So, for example, if we compare Eastern Europe, Africa, Asia, and Latin America, how do you see the quality of the code that's being written, or whatever it might be, if they're a developer, for example, how do you see the quality of that versus other regions? If they're doing calls, how do you see the quality of that?
Yeah, so there's a couple nuances, and I'd love to get into some of these here with you. So not everyone's a coder that's listening. So maybe I'll talk about something that's a little easier to understand, which is the call center, back office, virtual assistant world. The Philippines tend to lead the world in that. But you might not know that Central America is a really good second option there. And the Philippines will lead on price. They speak English. They've got this massive time zone gap, though, with the States. So you either get around that by they're working third shift, which, trust me, even if they say it's okay, it's probably not okay, and they're going to burn out, right? That's a rough life, you know, when they're working your time zone in the deep, dark hours of the morning, you know, just to adapt to you. It's really, really rough. But then probably the more important thing that I'll say, Asia's got a lot going for it. But I did my master's in Singapore. I got exposed to, you know, the region at large. Asia is really, really good at taking clear processes. So if you're a process person and you've got an 18-step process on how to do this and you plug and play, I highly suggest you look at Asia. But if you're not that kind of person, I'm not that kind of person. I'm a entrepreneur, 10 plus years in, spontaneous. I chase shiny things. Problems come up that I didn't predict. I want people that are able to handle non-process things, right? And they've got to think on their feet, figure stuff out. So that's where the call center can work really well. Because if you have customers constantly calling about the same thing and there's an easy process to follow, by all means, use the Philippines. Your customers might go outside the box. They might ask unpredictable questions. Things come up that are, you're not sure what's going to come. I think Latin America is really, really good. And their style of English is much more adaptable to US English. So they understand colloquialisms and slang, and they watch our Netflix shows in English. They really care about US politics and music and movies and all these things. So I'd say you get a lot of value from a call center standpoint if it's a little more out of the box in Central America. When it comes to just straight up code, I think Eastern Europe is fantastic, especially for back-end engineering. When you're doing object-oriented programming, you're doing server-side engineering, that's a huge place. Now, the reality of it is, like other parts of the world right now, what's going on in Iran is pretty fresh, but there's been this war with Ukraine and Russia for several years now, and that's not a, what am I trying to say? That there's some unpredictability there that you can't manage around, right? It's probably the nice way to say it. So that labor force kind of gets a little thinner, you know, just due to the nature of the geopolitical situation. And then you also have this time zone. But when it's just straight up code, I think Eastern Europe is right there at the top of the list with back-end engineering. Now, front-end engineering is a little bit different. There's a lot more conversations with product. There's a lot more conversations with users. You start to think more of the workflow, the user experience as UI and UX kind of go together sometimes. And you really need people that are not afraid to push back. And I think this is where Latin America can rival Eastern Europe on back-end engineering. But I think they come out ahead on front-end engineering because they're a lot more comfortable saying, hey, I think this tech stack is wrong, or there's a different way to solve this. I think they're much more used to that. So I strongly suggest using Latin America for that. And then, you know, when you look at a place like India, there's a lot of similarities to the Philippines, you know, where your style of English, they speak English, but it's just a little bit different. But then they also have this hierarchical way of approaching things. So you might have to go through five layers to reach the engineer working on the code for your company. Where in Latin America, it's much more horizontal, flat. You can kind of go right to the source. So it's not that the coders aren't good in India. They're very good. They produce more engineers every year than some countries have total population. But they're so used to this hierarchy that they might not produce what you're asking for simply because it's a game of five layers of telephone, where in Latin America, they're very, very used to going direct to the customer. They work like US engineers. They share their questions. They share their concerns. So hopefully that adds a little context and color that it's not simply the quality of the code. There's a lot of nuances to how work is done.
Absolutely. And Brian, where can people go to learn more about you if they're looking to hire a developer or outsource to Latin America?
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. We are Plug Technologies, PLUGG, and our website is plug, PLUGG dot tech. There's a contact us form, and these still go right to my inbox, and I'll be happy to follow up with you directly if you're near shore curious and want to learn more about Latin America.
That's awesome. Brian, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate you jumping on.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. Thank you all for listening, and I will see you on the next episode.